Hey, Derek, it's Jeremy.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. How was your holiday?
They were excellent. We had a really good time.
Awesome.
And, things have been in flux quite a bit. I changed jobs at the 1st of December. And
oh, wow.
Holidays, and yeah, I'm not sure that's something I would suggest. I did it by choice, but it's still not something I would suggest doing in the future, so...
right around the holidays or just ever?
Right around the holidays, yeah, with everything going on, but that's just kind of the way it is. And
yeah.
No, we had a good holidays. Aww. We really enjoyed ourselves, and our kids' big gift this year, instead of presents, we went to Disney World instead, so they really enjoyed that.
Oh, wow. Awesome. What a good gift. I can't wait to hear all about that. Cool. Who else has just joined us?
Hi, this is Lisa from New Jersey.
Hey, Lisa. How are you?
I've listened to some of the recorded calls, but I haven't been on any live calls yet.
Totally fine. I'm glad you're here today. This is Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy.
Cool. Hi.
Hi. Good to be here.
I'm happy to hear. Yeah, I'm glad to hear you're here.
And
looking forward to hearing what's been going on with you guys. Hoping all is well.
Yeah.
Well, we can go ahead and do check-ins if you want. Let me see real quick who else is here. Okay, it's just the three of us right now. I'm sure other people are going to join us, but it's that, you know, first week back, and some people are still trying to figure out what's going on, and I don't know about you guys, but things have been a little hectic for us this week too. So we'll just go ahead and get going, and then as people join us, they can jump in. So what are we celebrating? Derek, you want to go first? Disney World?
We're just not Disney World so much as we're just, you know, celebrating the holidays and celebrated. Things stayed relatively, even though it was very chaotic and there's been a lot going on. My son, for the most part, stayed pretty well grounded. We had a couple days where he could be really difficult, where, you know, we spent all this money to be at Disney World. All he wanted to do was go swim, and every time he turned around, he'd ask, "Can I go to the pool now? When can I go to the pool? You know, when I get back, can I go to the pool? We're eating lunch right now. So his lunch is halfway through lunch. Can I go swimming?" You know, so we had a few of those, but for the most part, he stayed. You know, he did really good. He helped out, you know, with his three sisters, and
nice.
So all in all, it was a really good trip, and he wasn't too out of control. So it
cool.
Any more than most other kids would be. Probably even I would have been at that.
At Disney World, no less.
Right. So that's what I'm appreciative of. The tough part is now that he's going back to school. You know, when he's not in school, things are a lot better than when he's in school. And, you know, we just brace ourselves when the intensity and the stress of school starts back up. You know, it always becomes kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about some self-care this week. We'll see if we can't kind of wrap that back around a bit. Thanks for checking in. I think it's great that, his outlet was swimming. You know, I mean, my sons are in a hurry to get back to their electronics, so I think if they wanted to go swimming instead, I'd be thrilled.
No, it's great. It's just that, you know, when you're just sitting there, just the time, his sense of timing is just still not that good. He just doesn't understand that, you know, when there's a family, we got to think about everybody, and all he's focused on is what can he do, when can he do it next, and if he's swimming,
mm-hmm.
he'll get out and say, okay, when can we eat dinner, when can we, you know, and he's just, he's always three steps above, he just never enjoys being in the moment, and it's sometimes kind of a struggle, so.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Very typical, very normal for ADHD kids. Lisa, what are you celebrating? What's been going great in your world over the past couple weeks? Or you can tell us about something that's been challenging you.
Well, I think the start of school is a blessing and a curse because it gets us back in a routine. And but I have a sophomore that I'm struggling with in high school, and I guess the biggest challenge is really just getting through the day. You know, with homework struggles. I mean, you have a it's a typical profile of a highly intelligent kid. He's got a processing disorder, so that would be like the fourth percentile is his processing speed, but very high intelligence. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult to do school. So, but he, you know, his teachers like him. There's no discipline problems there. He contributes in class and his teachers enjoy him, but he doesn't turn in any work. He doesn't turn in work because it's just very overwhelming for him to tackle it. And, you know, it's kind of years of struggling with this. And now we have a, you know, the good news is that we have a classification for him. So he's going to get more accommodations and more services. He qualifies for that. So he has actually gone from a 504 to an IEP. But we haven't seen the benefits of that yet. So that's something to celebrate.
Sure.
But we haven't really been able to take advantage of the services yet. And we're not even really sure what those services are going to look like, because he has to be on board with it. So that might be a little bit of a challenge. So
I see.
Slowly they're kind of trying to introduce him to the world of, you know, services in the school district.
Mm-hmm.
And I think slowly maybe he will hopefully embrace it at some point. But but I think
remind me what area,
in New Jersey.
I was going to say, remind me. No, what area of processing is
It's speed processing.
Auditory?
Yeah, it's speed processing. So that manifests itself in, you know, inability to get started and finish things. It's really like a struggle, and he gets overwhelmed easily with having multiple things to do at the same time.
Ah,
so, I mean, there's some ADD in there, too, but you know how ADD is, or ADHD, whatever term is being used. There's always, like, other things that flank alongside it. So this is the flanking alongside the ADD is the speed processing issue.
Okay.
So
it
just makes school – we're just trying to get through school. We have very much reframed our expectations of school, of college, of time frames, you know. And I think that's probably a good thing, kind of relax a little bit about that, like – kind of taking the attitude of chips will fall where they may, and we're going to support them as much as we can. So that's kind of, I think that's a little bit of a celebration to reframe
without
the attitude
a doubt.
Toward it. Yeah.
Definitely. I find that, definitely. When we can make a reframe of something that's been a challenge and we feel much more relaxed after we've made that reframe, we know it's a good choice, right?
That's
great. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing. Andrea, you joined us. What's going on?
I just caught the last part of the last one and kind
that
of
was Lisa.
Lisa, yeah, and that was I can relate to what she was saying. Well, we just came off of the break and
How was your holiday?
It was good and kind of rough at the same time.
Okay. Do you want to celebrate or do you want to share a challenge? You can go either way.
Well, I guess, you know, we're just realizing with my daughter difficult school is for her. And I think it's similar to what you were saying. You know, she takes a long time to get and she gets very much overwhelmed, and I think with to one of the webinars where it was Jerome Schultz is his name, I guess. He was talking about the stress and how, you know, this constant stress really makes their brains kind of not able to function very well, and I feel like that's what's going on with her, you know, like she's under this constant stress, especially with school. And, you know, we noticed it like when school was going to start, you know, a few days before school was going to start, she, you know, started feeling that again. And and I realized that when she's under that constant stress, and I am too, you know, so, and I feel like I can't get away from it either. So, we're kind of
self-care is going to be a good topic today for you.
But it also makes her not able to be aware of how anybody else is feeling. Plus, you know, she's a teenager, so she's kind of self-absorbed right now.
Sure, totally normal, right?
Yeah, but then, you know, there's kind of a limit because it doesn't, just because they aren't aware doesn't mean that they can be rude to us, you know.
Right, right.
So trying to find where that line is and trying to learn how to let her know that, you know, hey, that wasn't okay, you know.
Yeah.
Because I kind of felt like, we kind of got to this point where I felt like, yeah, you know, she's just kind of walking all over us right now. And it didn't feel
And that's not a good feeling.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's going to dovetail really nicely into what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. I kind of met her and let her know. And
yeah.
She got it, you know, after I said what I had to say. But
gotcha.
I guess we have to learn how to let her know along the way when, you know, she says or does things
before you get to that point. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. No, we can talk. We can maybe do some laser coaching on that a little bit later on in the call if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Okay, cool. Who joined us from Massachusetts? Is that Carolyn?
Yes.
They have us on mute. Hello, how are you?
Yes, I'm unmuted. The dog was barking so loud. I was like, So
I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, it's good to be talking and listening.
Wonderful. Do you want to check in? Give us a celebration?
Yeah.
Yes, always.
Who did I miss? I'm sorry.
We have Derek and Lisa. No, you're good. Derek, Lisa, and let's see, Andrea, and who else did I miss? You? Yeah.
Carolyn.
That's it so far.
Awesome. Okay, so, well, things are hard.
Things are hard, okay.
And happy Epiphany, little Christmas. I always think to celebrate that because it's kind of like, you finished all the other Christmas things, and now is it a good time to really nourish oneself or clean out and stuff? So anyway, we called it Mom's Christmas. But I would have to say I'm still struggling to learn the skills, like Andrew was saying, about providing feedback to people. Because in other words, you can be compassionate with someone when they're struggling. At the same time, you don't have to be a doormat. And so I'm kind of getting to a better place where I'm not reacting as much and yelling back or, you know, not... or avoiding a situation at all, so it's some kind of a struggle. So, so the good news is that we had fewer gatherings for this holiday system or time, and fewer numbers of people to manage at this time, and it worked out incredible. For all of us.
Good.
You know, that it's like, I don't like handling lots of people either. I go into my coping mode of focusing in on one person at a time, but my family doesn't like that because I ignore them because I can only focus on one person at a time and I already know them, you know. But so anyway, I thought it was nice to kind of, I think, touch base a little bit better. And if you'd like to come with me, that would be great. If you really don't want to, I really would rather you not come.
Don't want to fight that fight.
I don't want to fight that fight. And so
yeah.
I think there was a little too much, you know, computer games and computer videos, screen time. At the same time, it was, I only critiqued or made a change when I felt like it, because I needed to take care of me too, and I just, it's my vacation too, so I didn't want to fight the whole time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Perfect.
So I
want to hear more about that. As we get into our topic today, I want to hear more about how you were taking care of yourself too, and how you expressed that to the rest of your family. I think that's going to be.
Yeah, I would say my major puzzle is when others are speaking in a nasty tone. I can speak to specifically my teenage daughter, but also my husband, who has lost his job as of October, and was going through the Christmas, you know, crabbing about what everybody else was doing wrong and stuff, kind of like had a good magnifying glass going on, and to say, you know, I need to stop right here and try to remember not to do it in public, not to do it with others around. But the thing is, when my husband or either of the two daughters are triggered, they have a memory loss, so you can't wait too long to say anything.
Uh-huh.
You want to change something. So I'm playing with that a little bit more, with a little less emotional content. But it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, because it's a change, and then none of the three that are living in my house say thank you very much for making this wonderfully healthy change that is going to impact us positively in the long run.
And this is shocking to you?
Yeah. Anyways, no, it's just being able to say, like, okay, we're coaching. I'm
mm-hmm.
teaching others what is acceptable to me or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always been a challenge for me when someone's yelling and you say, please stop yelling. I'm not yelling. They yell back. And yes, you are yelling. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. No, I'm not.
Uh-huh.
And, you know what I mean? So it just doesn't go
yeah.
anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then you try to psychobabble and that doesn't work. When you say this, I feel that.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work because
mm-hmm.
it just doesn't. And so what do you do when you're trying to figure out how can I get this point across so that we can move forward?
Mm-hmm.
That I don't need to just run away from it, and I don't need to avoid it, and I don't need
mm-hmm.
to also make it worse. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. It was just interesting because it is like, you always say this, or you always
right.
go there and stuff, and you're like, you know, breathing and stuff. So
Remember, we don't have to attend. Sorry.
Exactly.
We don't have to attend every argument that we're invited to, right? And,
exactly. So anyway, so yeah, I would say it's all good. It's uncomfortable because it's new. And it's different.
Okay. But that's good too, right? Because that's how we grow.
Yes.
By pushing ourselves.
Well, the old comfortable way was not pleasant.
Right. Right. Nothing changes if nothing changes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
What about taking a sip of water? Wasn't that on one of the calls? Go take a sip of water.
It was the water.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everyone, it's time to take a sip of water now.
Take our water. All right, everybody drink. Water. Oh, that's funny. I don't know if I've told you guys about, there's a study, that one of my favorite studies. This is a complete and random aside, but I just have to tell you the story because I think it's funny. It's a study that it was done like in the mid-90s, I guess, and it was the impact of parenting complex kids or kids with special needs on the parent and the family. And basically what they did was take a group of kids who were considered, you know, like stellar kids, you know, straight A's, you know, well-behaved, lots of activities, you know, polite, kind, thoughtful, kids who do not have any kind of diagnosis. And they had the parents of kids who had ADHD or other complex needs hang out with them for a while. And then the parents of the super stellar kids hung out with ADHD and complex kids for a while. And then after that, they took the entire group of parents to a bar, and they measured how many drinks the parents had. And in every scenario, the parents who had worked with the ADHD kids, whether they were the superstar parents or the parents themselves of the ADHD kids, they drank significantly more than the parents of the kids who were, or the parents that were hanging out with the group of so-called superstar kids. I just thought that was fascinating. So parents everywhere struggle with these issues. And hopefully we find out
the ways. That's a lot of the reason why I don't personally drink a lot during the week, especially, not that I don't drink much anyway, but when my sons give me a hard time, I purposely don't go get a drink just for that very reason, because you feel like you're never going to stop if you start. So.
Right. That's so true. Yep. And
I
for those of us who do have ADHD. Yeah, I think it's fascinating. Well, I love that the parents of the whatever, quote unquote, you know, normal superstar kids drink just as much in the same situation, because it's stressful. It's stressful what we do. You know, you see the
studies.
It
sounds like
kids,
a reality
like,
show in
the
making, you know, family swap.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I don't want, yeah, we will not be the test subject for that one. But anyway, okay, so that was my aside. But the, I mean, I guess it does all kind of relate to our topic today, which is, you know, putting your own oxygen mask on first. And I think we've all, we all understand that. You know, we're on page 27 in the workbook if you're following along. It's a, you know, it's a phrase that we hear a ton. And I was thinking, you know, as I was preparing for this week's lesson, I was thinking about the first time that I flew with my son. You know, he was like 6 weeks old, and we were flying home from San Diego at the time for his baptism. And this is my oldest, so this is like 17 years ago, right? And the flight attendant said, okay, so if the, you know, if we get in a turbulence or whatever and the oxygen masks drop down, you put your son's oxygen mask on first and then put yours on. Or no, reverse that, sorry. Put yours on and then put his on. And I remember getting really upset and looking at her like horrified, like there's no way in hell I'm going to put my oxygen mask on first and not take care of my son first. You know, he obviously needs everything. You know, how could I do that? That would make me a bad parent. And I got kind of angry with her, and I'm laughing as I remember this. And finally she was like, look, lady, if you're passed out on the floor of this airplane, your kid's going to die. So put your own oxygen mask on first so you can help your kid. And it's a little dramatic. And you know, I was a first-time mom. I'd been a mom for all 6 weeks at that point in my life. But as I think about that, and, you know, you apply it to our lives, it makes perfect sense. If we don't take care of ourselves, we can't be the parents we want to be for our kids. And we also can't model good behavior or good self-care for our children either. You know, if we're not showing them what it's like to make sure that our personal needs are met, they're not going to learn how to do that for themselves as they grow up either. So lots of things stand in the way of allowing us to put our oxygen masks on first. So when you guys think about the things that you do to care for yourself, for me it's exercise. Well, there's lots of things that I like to do, but for the most part, exercise is the one that I know I need to get. Everything else is kind of icing on the cake. And what stands in the way of that for me is time or putting myself last, things like that. So I'd love to hear from you guys what you do for yourselves in terms of self-care and kind of what stands in the way. Who wants to go first?
This is Eric. I'll go first. No, physical fitness is really big for me. I also have, years ago, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. So if you're not familiar with that, it's inflammation in the lower bowel, processed food, especially dairy food, as mm-hmm. you know, like other people do. So even though mine has relatively been under remission for years, you still have episodes where it flares up. And unfortunately,
painful.
One of the things that make it flare up is stress. What causes stress? Kids with ADHD. So, not exactly the best recipe. You know, I know there's times where my son, you know, I'll be so frustrated, and then I just feel my stomach. You know, I haven't eaten anything. I know that would flare it up, and it just starts to hurt. You know, I've never been diagnosed. I've been checked for ulcers a couple times, but never had any. So, or at least no evidence of them. But no, physical fitness. I like to work puzzles. And there's times where it's tough, but sometimes I just kind of need to be away from them, where I just have to go off on my own, whether I'm surfing on the computer, watching a TV show, reading a book. Sometimes I just have to kind of be alone with my own thoughts, quiet for a little while, and I know that helps kind of rejuvenate me. Mm-hmm. And I know my son gets frustrated sometimes because when he really goes off or he has a tough night, and he'll never apologize, or if he will, it's usually a half-hearted apology later on because he generally wants something after that. He's like, hey, I'm sorry I got upset. Oh, by the way, can you pick me up tomorrow? Or can you do, you know, so he apologizes kind of when it benefits him. So unfortunately, sometimes I don't take his apologies as serious as I should just because there's always kind of an ulterior motive behind them. But you know, there's times where I do feel bad because I think he wants to spend time, but at that, you know, at that point after he's had a really, his way of kind of apologizing is he wants to get close to you and, you know, do something, and at that point it's really hard because you're so frustrated that you just kind of want some time apart and you just need to have some quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's
I don't
a good
really
point.
Have
sometimes self-care is saying no. Mm-hmm.
It is, and I feel horrible about it, but sometimes I know it's better for me just to have some quiet time because there's times where he'll sit next to me and all of a sudden, next thing you know, we're in some argument. I try to tell him this is why we got upset earlier, and I know one of the parents earlier talked about the kid saying, you know, oh, you're not yelling, and you know, my son hates it when you yell, but sometimes you can talk to him in a medium voice for a long time, and it just doesn't go through to him, and then once you raise your voice, it's like, Dad, you're getting mad. You're raising your voice. I'm like, yes, I am, because you're not doing what I'm, you know. Well, Dad, I wish you wouldn't raise your voice. Well, I wish you would do what I asked the first 7 times that I asked it, you know. And this goes round and round in circles. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm not the best sometimes about walking away or just stepping back. And I've gotten better about it over time. As he gets older, that I just reach a point to where I just get up and walk out of the room. It's just kind of the best thing for it because he's not. He doesn't have the maturity for it, and he doesn't really, even though I'll tell him, I said, Connor, you're kind of getting out of control. No, I'm not. You're the one out of control. And it just starts like, you just reach a point to where you just get up and you're like, look, we can't talk right now. You're just not in a position to where we can talk. And, you know,
so that's like our lesson last week, Derek. I mean, so that's kind of touching on our lesson last week that was, you know, managing triggers. But in terms of self-care, I'm wondering what kinds of things, you know, in addition to physical fitness and exercise and saying no, what prevents you from getting that? Because I know it's much easier for all of us to manage our triggers if we get what we need to care for ourselves. So what's standing in the way?
Time. I work about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes away from work with traffic in Houston. But we like where we live. My wife doesn't work, so, you know, I think you know my wife, and she...
she works.
Well, she works very hard, but she doesn't work. She doesn't drive an hour to work. She's at her office when she wakes up. And, and so, you know, time and just, you know, with having other kids, even when, you know, we've had a rough night, I'll get home from work kind of late sometimes, and it's not a matter of just sitting there and relaxing, you know, because my wife's had a long day, so you got to jump in and help with baths or have a quick dinner or, you know, kids want to be, you know, read to or, and so it's just, you know, it's time and number of kids that we have. And my son, even having twin 5-year-olds at home with him being 14, you know, there's times where he takes up the majority of our time just dealing with him.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes he'll take up more time than my other 3 girls, you know, combined. And that's what makes it hard. Because another thing that I like to do in wine is just spend time, you know, read quietly with my girls to where there's no stress, and there's times where I'm trying to read to him and he's still worked up about something, and so he's still trying to get at me while I'm trying to read, and that's really what prevents
He's trying to connect with you, that's the only way he knows to connect with you.
Yeah, he wants attention. He clearly wants attention. Like, look, let me finish reading to them and then I'll get with you. Well, no, we got to talk about this, and it's usually something pedantic, you know, it's just whatever. But,
he wants to be involved. He wants to be a part of what's going on, and that's his way of reaching out to you. And it's not in a way that works for you.
It's just it's the hours that I work and the hours that I spend with him, or and just other family obligations. You know, I get home and something in the refrigerator needs fixed or something. You know, the garage door is not opening right. And, you know, it's stuff that you have to get fixed right away. So, you know, that's what prevents me from having time, because usually even though it should be one of your priorities, my time alone turns, you know, usually the last thing that I get. It's like when everything else is done, but nothing is ever really done, so I really don't get that, you know, that much time.
So if you were going to take better care of yourself kind of within the context of this, what would you do differently?
I really don't know. I mean, we kind of where we are in life, you know. I have, you know, four beautiful kids, so it's you know, they all need attention, they all need help with homework or whatever else. So that's just you just kind of get used to it, and you just, you know, backload your time, you know, when you can. And, you know, often I get up really early in the morning just to go work out earlier than I really want to, just to, you know, just have some quiet time to myself. In fact, one of the things that I do is, whether I work a puzzle or read, some of my most productive time is between, I know a lot of people will gasp at this, is between 4:30 and 5:30 in the morning. I'll get up and just read, and that's the only hour that I have because my son's a night owl. That's really the only time where nobody else is up, and I can just sit there and do things quietly without anybody disturbing me. So that's one of the ways that I kind of overcome it, is I get up even earlier than I should. I sacrifice a little sleep just to sit there and do some things that I want to do.
But it's great that you recognize that that's important and that you need that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hopefully you're not completely sleep deprived for the rest of the day. If you are, do you make it up on the weekends?
Everyone could be gone, and I could take 4 sleeping pills, and I would still sleep about 6 hours, and I would wake up. That's just the way. I sleep about 6 hours, and I wake up. It's just funny how that works. So,
yeah.
Whether I go to bed at 10 or 12, I'm going to sleep right about 6 hours, six and a half hours.
Okay. So, you know, it's easy to get caught up in those shoulds and have tos, and it sounds like you're doing a good job of identifying that you do need, you know, a certain amount of time, and you can fit it into your sleep schedule and not be completely a zombie for the rest of the week because of it. Yeah. Is there any area, I mean, if you had to rate your level of self-care right now, and between like 1 and 10, there's that wheel of life on page 28 in the workbook, and if you've got it in front of you, great, and if not, it's just, you know, vision the circle, and the center is zero.
I left it at home today.
That's okay. Well, just on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put your current level of self-care?
Probably about a 4.
Okay.
Don't misunderstand.
So what
I mean, I'm in pretty good physical fitness, and I, you know, try to eat healthy, and I keep, you know, all my health signs are good, but just as far as stress level and really doing what I want to do, you know, not like when you're 24 and you have no kids and, you know, you're single and the world is yours, you know, it's probably about a 4.
Okay. So if there were, I mean, I know you're not really sure what it would be that you could do different to get it to a 5, let's say, but if you think about moving it to a 5, what would a realistic action step look like? Is it another 30 minutes of time to yourself? Is it, you know, date night? Is it an extra 15 minutes with the girls without being interrupted? What would that look like?
Probably, you know, an extra date night with my wife, and probably, you know, an extra 30 minutes a day just to myself. So.
Okay. So what can you do to make that happen?
I just have to make it happen. I just find the time. I don't have a great answer.
That's okay. That's an answer. What's a realistic action step? Once a month, every other month?
You know, once a month. My wife and I were really good about going out once a month for a while, but then again, you know, life happened. We're bad about it. If we don't make a point, we don't do it, so we do need to make a date night soon, and I'll probably need to raise it to her this evening.
Okay, cool. Good. Now, how does that feel? Like one more thing to do, or like?
No, it'll feel good. It's just, like I said, like I was telling you earlier before we started the call, just where I am right now, starting a new job, and which I've, it's all on me. It's something that I took that it's, you know, it's more responsibility, more work, a little bit farther drive, but it's something that's going to be better for us overall. And I love the new job.
And that's part of self-care too, you know. I mean, switching to a job that's more meaningful for you and your family long-term, that is part of self-care. So that wraps into what you're doing. So, yeah, I get it. Cool. Okay, I'll be curious to hear how that goes.
Okay.
Who wants to go next? Thanks, Derek. The questions are, what do you do to take care of yourself, and what stands in the way, and then what can we do, or what can you do to take better care of yourself, and what's a realistic goal look like? Go ahead.
Hi, this is Carolyn. And
hey, Carolyn.
Derek, I totally, like, what you're saying, like, is totally where our family is at. In other words, one of the things that has helped me not necessarily get more done, but be aware of what actually is needing to get done, I think, it's just amazing because sometimes, like, doing the things, like, I can either do it or tell somebody I'm doing it, but it's more important that I do it so it's invisible until it's either not done or until I blow up. one of the things that did help me was, because I need structure, but it's the book, It's like dual parenting, like, so that it's creating a new paradigm. But what I loved is that they divided the work into four parts because there's employment or career, and there's house and home, and there's parenting, this whole huge other block, and there's self. And both partners have to do all of those things. You know, whether the career is the actual employment that's coming in, or, you know, how every family divides it out is incredible. But if you don't have words to be able to say, this is what parenting takes, then it's really, it becomes kind of invisible. So the beautiful thing that I experienced with my husband is that I used to leave him at home with kids when I was a reservist. And he sort of understood, and now without his job, I'll be returning to a full-time career. And he's not particularly happy with the level of workload that he considered not work.
Right.
And I'm not ready to turn it over yet because he's still blaming the kids for being where they are. And he has to set his own structure up before he could be available to help them learn to set up their own. But I don't know the answer. The best thing that I'm finding in terms of, like, self-care is to learn to make it visible. Because, like, why would I be exhausted if I wasn't working? Well, listening I find exhausting. You know, really paying attention to someone, even choosing not to do something when it's their turn to fall or, you know, to realize something, to me, that is exhausting. So,
yeah, I agree.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point about the visibility, too. We have a woman on a call earlier this week was saying that, you know, she takes care of herself by working out during the day while the kids are at school, and she works out of her house so she can go to the gym kind of whenever. But her kids never see her doing that. And so she's not necessarily modeling for them, you know, good self-care. So she wanted to make sure she made a point of you know, doing it visibly or at least talking out loud about it when they were around so they could hear how she goes about taking care of herself during the day. But go ahead, Carolyn. So tell us what you do.
Oh, no,
to,
I was just
going to
say
is,
well, some of the things are is I'm going to counseling because I thought that nobody listened to me, but I'm kind of learning that I need to edit myself better as I'm communicating. I need to take aim better because I'm asking others to filter through how I process things, and they don't. and so I'm really learning to communicate better, I think. So it's like that I have to keep learning. And so because it's a new skill, I really appreciate the extra help. And then for me, it's going to a prayer group, walking. We walk the dog every day. It's out in the woods. That's my favorite place to be. And I need to be, and I need to go back to yoga class because I'm old and I don't get away with anything anymore. You know?
You're funny. You're not old.
Well,
so
I have
it sounds like you have a lot of good things in place. Go ahead.
Well, and that's what I'm just saying is even when I'm crabbing, there's just miracles all around, you know. And
I love it.
The things that I need to do, I think the things that are needed to get done, it depends on whose perspective I'm looking at it from. It's really hard, like if I try to compare my children with other people's children or my brother and sister's children or, you know, so many people will say, well, I've never let her do that. And you're like, oh.
You got to ignore that.
You know, and then just the improvement in not giving that any time or effort.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, that
way
gives
me more
lies,
effort to do what I need to do so that you would never, that it's like, well, am I doing the most important thing? So,
I'll ask you the same question I asked Eric. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Sometimes I'm going to have to interrupt just to make sure we stay on track as
Please
far as time
do.
Goes. And so,
you know I'll
yeah,
go
no,
on
it's okay.
and on.
No, it's all good stuff. I love it. I hate that we're limited to an hour. But so, you know, in terms of, again, self-care, which it sounds like you have a lot of incredible things in place, between 1 and 10, how would you rate your self-care right now?
Well,
I being like
think,
superstar massage every day, you know.
I know. Yeah. Like that, like the totally unrealistic thing. I would give myself a 5. And the reason why is because I have learned that with the complex children, you have to like do more because you know it's going to require more patience. So you actually, and I think being a nurse, I always learned that how much care I give to other people, I need to do twice that much for me so that I have leftover and don't run dry. Because it's not their fault that I run dry. It's nobody else's fault. It's my responsibility to do what I need to do so I can do what I do. But that being said, I would say I have to improve on nutrition because carbohydrates are evil for me and cause the inflammation with the arthritis really bad. And I know that, but man, the Christmas cookies are awesome. And then the other thing is making the time to go to yoga class because I will not do it on my own. Absolutely not.
So if we were going to move you from a 5 to a 6 in one of those areas, what's a realistic action step for you to take?
Mine is that I already have the New Year's schedule for the yoga classes, and there is one each of the 5 mornings of the week. And so I would have to say it's more pick it, put it on the calendar.
Okay.
With the alarm on it ahead of time to say in 1 hour you need to go kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And will you go if it's on the calendar and you have the time saved for it?
Nope. I'm going to have to actually tell my husband. I will have to allow him. I'll have to allow him to encourage him to nag me. Because I think it's so, I really think it's so important that just as I do for my children and my husband on something really, really important, I say go to the wall for it or whatever, but to say, no, this is really, really important. But likewise, just as I will cue somebody else, I really need cueing on this because the arthritis then gets bad, then everything is out of balance, and then I'm going to need a knee replacement. And like, no, we don't need to go there. Just go to class.
Now, would it be more helpful for you, or would it be more meaningful if it was someone other than your husband who nagged you, or who reminded you, or held you accountable for it?
You know what? yes and no, but what I'm thinking is he's here, and mm-hmm. and I think he would enjoy being responsible for nagging me about something.
Okay, as long as it's a positive nagging, I want to make sure that, you know, when you go down that path, it doesn't turn into another opportunity for frustration or upset.
Right. Okay. Good point. But I'm kind of, not that I deserve to be mean to, but the nice guy thing doesn't work on this situation.
Okay. I'm gonna trust you on that one.
Believe me, I have a million excuses. Maybe
don't we all? Yeah, that's all right. That's how our minds work. Lisa or Andrea, who wants to go next?
Hi. Sorry, this is Lisa. I'm really trying to get to the yoga classes. It's just, I'd say my self-care is probably a 3.
Yeah.
But
uh-huh.
I think it's just being more conscious of, you know, taking care of myself, like when I feel like I want to blow, I just need to leave
mm-hmm.
the room, as opposed to engaging in an argument mm-hmm. that will never be won by anybody. So,
yeah.
You know, just having more of an awareness of what I need and going for that. My husband's doing the same thing. So that's, you know, it's a reminder
yeah.
to me. You know, and his is visible. Mine is not because I'm leaving the house. But I think that's important,
mm-hmm.
too. And I will take that point that somebody made and be more conscious of that. So I do that on, you know, there is a class that I do on the weekend. So that is visible. Mommy's going to
mm-hmm.
yoga class. So
this is mommy time.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Well,
so what's standing in the way of you getting to yoga class more than just on the weekends?
Well, that's the visible one. No, I mean, I was going to go today, but I didn't actually like the instructor. I didn't go. It's always tomorrow, and I went yesterday. So I've been going with more consistency. It's probably because it's January, but it's just,
uh-huh.
I know that I need it, so I think I just need to mm-hmm. be constantly reminding myself of that, because otherwise I'm like a caged bird, and that's not good. So, you know, just moving, even if it's the treadmill. We have a treadmill in our house that never gets used, by the way. Came with the house. I'd rather be outside getting the vitamin D
okay.
and the sunshine. So,
yeah.
But yeah,
so
I mean,
will
so
the extra yoga class? Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's not bad, but it could use improvement. And I think it's just a matter of putting it in the schedule and going, you know. It's all there.
Okay.
I put schedules in more visible places.
Mm-hmm.
That's even more of a constant reminder. So, like, literally, I put
mm-hmm.
one in my cupboard, like, inside the
mm-hmm.
cupboard. So every time I open it, I see it. So,
yeah.
You know, just little visual reminders.
Work?
Well, I just did it recently, so.
Oh, okay.
I guess it's working a little bit. I think I might have to put,
okay.
you know, because I have a lot of different gyms and yoga studios right within a stone's throw. There's no excuse.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's just, you know, sometimes it's like a choice of
yeah.
so many options that almost makes you
mm-hmm.
not make a choice. It's like there's too many
right.
to choose from. But
gotcha.
I'm going to focus on this one gym that's, you know, close by and convenient and just not make it too complicated. So, but, you know,
sometimes
I mean,
it's about making
like,
it a habit, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, I talked to somebody about a couple of classes that I was considering, and she goes on a regular basis. So I feel like I kind of committed myself by making a verbal commitment. Okay, see you in class. So I almost feel like I kind of created a workout buddy inadvertently.
Uh-huh.
So I think
awesome.
That will help as well, just to have some accountability mm-hmm. to that person that I told
yeah.
them I would show up in this class twice a week. That's 3 times a week. That would be one yoga
go.
And 2 other classes. So I think that's
And will
good.
That make the difference? Will that get you from a 3 to a 4?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean,
yeah.
one more class would get me from a 3 to a 4. So,
ooh,
yeah.
Should we, like, go for the gold and see what will get you to a 5, or should we?
Well, I want it to be attainable,
so
I'm not, like, beating myself up if I'm not, you know, accomplishing
exactly.
it. So
perfect.
But,
definitely.
You know, it's a
realistically,
small window.
Maybe one. Right. If you start with one more a week and you go every week to 2 total or whatever.
Yeah.
I
mean, I think it should be a
yeah.
minimum of 3, and I've got those classes actually targeted. So
Perfect.
I think it'll be good. Yeah. I think it has to happen in the morning, like the gentleman said. I mean, you just have to carve it out in the morning before the chaos ensues, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
You know, or the day gets away from you. So I'm at home, so that's the difference. But, yeah, I mean, I think the things that get in the way is a lot of, there's just a lot of advocating that's happening, and I tend to spend too much time on that and learning opportunities and, you know, webinars, et cetera, you know, things that are happening. You know, there's just a lot of chaos around my son and what's going to happen to him. So that takes up a lot of energy.
Yeah.
So
And the best thing you can do to care for your son is to take care of you first.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
True. So
awesome. Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing how that goes.
Okay. So I'm done.
All right, Andrea. No, you can keep going.
No, I'm good.
You tell me. Are you done? Okay.
I'm done. Yep.
Cool. Awesome.
Okay,
Andrea, you want to go?
Yeah, sure. I guess I'm probably on, for self-care, I'm probably around four or five maybe. But the areas I can improve in are exercise and sleep, probably social life.
Okay.
But,
which one would make the most difference to you right now?
Well, I'm kind of focusing on sleep because I realize that I get into this bad cycle of, you know, not getting enough sleep, and then if I don't have enough sleep, then I, you know, everything just doesn't look very well.
Yeah.
Just tired. When I'm tired, then I can't do anything very well. So just trying to give myself permission to let other things go, you know. And
what's standing in the way? The other two things on your to-do list, or?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times I just get stuck because I feel like, I mean, even with exercise, you know, I can't do it because I have this and this and this and this, and then I don't give myself the permission to take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just trying to figure, well, the hard part with sleep is that, like probably a lot of the other kids, my daughter stays up really late, and I'm trying to get her to go to sleep, and I feel like, you know, I have to, like, take care of her and get her to, you know, do all the stuff she's supposed to do so she can go to sleep, and then I end up, and in the process of doing that, you know, I get frustrated. And then I can't sleep because I've got all this frustration in me now.
Right.
So then I end up
going that makes perfect sense.
Late.
Because you got to calm down first.
Yeah. And then so then I have to take some time to just kind of chill out. But then I don't get to bed, you know, until late. And then I have to get up early to start the whole thing all over again, you know, to get her up and get her to school. So I'm losing it on both ends, you know, losing the sleep on both ends.
Okay.
So
it sounds like, good.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bedtime routine for both of you.
Yeah, you have to work on that.
Might be an area to take aim on. Yeah. So how many hours do we need to get from a 4 or 5 to a 6 or 7 in terms of self-care?
How many hours of sleep?
Yep.
I could probably use, well, 6 or 7.
No, I need 8. I mean, I can function on
7. Yeah, I mean, 8 would,
I prefer 8.
8. 8 would be great.
8 would be great. My husband can function on like 4 or 5, and he's perfectly fine. I need 8.
8 would be great.
Mm-hmm.
But, I usually don't get that much. So if I could even, you know, make it 6 or 7, that would be good too. I guess I should aim for 8, but.
No, I think we want to be realistic, right? I mean, we want to set ourselves up for success. You know, and like we said, our habits are, whether they're good or bad, are in place for a reason, you know, because we've been doing them the same way or doing whatever, you know, so many times that it's become a habit. And to make a new habit, we have to do it, like I've heard anything from 9 to 17 times in order to make something a new habit. So we want to set ourselves up for success. And, if you know, realistically, if you think there's something that you can do to achieve 7 hours of sleep a night, then let's go for that. But my question is going to be, what is that going to look like? Or what do you need to do to make that happen?
Yeah.
What can you do?
That's where it's going to be hard. I need to start thinking about how to get to that point earlier. I mean, start thinking about the whole bedtime routine earlier in the night.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't know, it's hard because she has certain activities that she does, and she doesn't get back from those until late sometimes. And sometimes, you know, I have things that go on. I have meetings or whatever I go to in the evenings. And so it's being able to plan ahead, I guess, and and sometimes I might have to just let her go and just say, well, if she's not going to go to bed, I'm just going to have to go.
And is she safe if you go to bed and she's still up?
I mean, she'll be safe, but, you know, I don't know what time she'll go to sleep.
Yeah. and that's okay. And that's okay. I'm sure this has happened in everyone's house that's on this call. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to sleep and woken up in the middle of the night for some reason and found my 12-year-old or my 14-year-old still up or had gone to bed and gotten up after I went to bed. And then they were exhausted the next day and they're safe. So it's okay. I mean, it happens.
Well, you know, I have a question about this because this is something I struggle with too, and I don't know why I forgot to mention it, but with a high schooler, with the workload, and if you have sports, you know, you don't get started on homework till 8 o'clock after having dinner.
Yeah.
And, you know, the 1 o'clock bedtime for me is pretty consistent. 12, 1.
Yeah, 12:30 usually.
Getting up at 6, you know,
6:15.
And it's just that, for me, it's not enough sleep, and it kind of builds up over time. And, you know, your ability to deal with the stress of your family and just, you know, life and good eating habits because it makes you crave carbs and, you know, all that stuff that goes along with
And then you're too tired to go work out and then you get more tired. And I get
so
it.
So I struggle with that too. And I'm trying to figure out a solution because what do you say? Don't do your homework and fail your class or your test, which is likely anyway. So that's, and then we're like, well, maybe just let the chips fall where they may. I'm going to get my sleep and I can't worry about him. So what do you, is that kind of the attitude you take? Or, I mean, that's what I kind of, my dilemma most nights. And and at some point you do need to go to bed, so just go to bed.
Yeah.
But it does not, it's not really at the time that I want it to be. You know, it's usually around midnight. So I'm working on that.
Yeah, I mean, if we apply the parenting action model to it, I mean, you know, we have choices in everything that we do. You know, I mean, and our kids have choices too. And I mean, you can get really dramatic and say, okay, you know, we're not going to do any after school activities, or we're not going to do any sports, you know, or we're not, whatever. And that's a choice. It may not be one that works for your family or one that you would even consider, but that's a choice, right?
Right.
And so at some point, I think you have to, you know, look at your values and your family values and see where the conflict is and if there's a way to resolve it. And, that's one I can't, you know, I can't answer for you. It's, it's an individual choice. Maybe it's, you know, choosing an activity or something that, that only has one or two late nights a week, you know, and then you have something built in place to make up on the weekend. Or maybe you decide to let them miss the first hour and sleep in, and you sleep in too. I mean, it's, there's flexibility somewhere in there, and it's just kind of a matter of finding the choice that's going to work best to meet your family values and also help you care for yourself and your kids the way you want to. Does that make sense?
Sure. Excuse me, Jeremy, I have to cut off. I have to leave.
Bye, Derek.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Talk to you in a couple weeks. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
So what comes up for you when I say something like that?
Is that directed at the other person?
Who? Oh, whoever.
No, I think that's true. I mean, you know, you want to have a well-balanced life for a child. So you don't want to, I mean, for me anyway, I'm willing to sacrifice a little bit of sleep to have, you know, an activity sport that he really enjoys, because that's going to help other areas. And I think it's just a question of trying to manage that and making, you know, it's not 8 o'clock every night, but some nights, you know, it is like 7, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you kind of just have to, you kind of have to deal with the outcome of your choices. You just have to manage it, you know?
Yeah.
Probably not going to get all straight A's with, you know, the activity there. And but you probably wouldn't get straight A's if you didn't have the activity there and you were just focused only on school. And that wouldn't be a balanced life. So those are the choices you make, I guess. You just have to figure out the time management of it.
And then prioritize them if you can.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We're trying to have our son, you know, sometimes learning the hard way, and he's kind of a learning the hard way kind of child. So, you know, minimizing internet. And so, you know, what's so hard is like the whole internet usage for the schools. Like everything is online, and yet all the distractions are online too, and just trying to manage that as a parent is very difficult.
Yes.
They don't really know when they're doing homework and when they're not doing homework, unless you're sitting over their shoulder for 5 hours.
Right.
And who wants to do that?
No, I get it. I get it. I mean, I think, I get it. It's hard.
That's another phone call, I think.
That's right. No.
That's another subject.
But it all goes back to self-care, right? Because, I mean, you don't have 5 hours to sit and be his body double, right? And you can put limits on the computer. And I mean, yeah, there are things you can do to limit his access, but you know, he may not be able to get his work done.
Right.
And so, Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. That is a topic for another phone call. But, it all comes back to choices and our expectations and our values and what you're okay with. You know, if you're okay with, I mean, a B or a C is not going to ruin our kids' lives. And if, and once we've, like, as you said earlier, once we shift our expectations to a place where that we're okay with and we're comfortable with, it makes things a lot easier, you know. Doesn't mean that we don't have high expectations for our kids and that we don't expect them to do the best that they can. It just means that in light of everything else that's going on, we know that exercise is important and we know that social, you know, activities and skills are important too, and so is the academics. But within that, we just have to, you know, pick and choose what we can pick and choose to find a balance, like you said.
Yeah. I was also, this is Andrea, but I was also thinking that, you know, if I just go to sleep and let her stay up because she's just not going to go to sleep, then it's probably better, because then I'm modeling to her that, you know, sleep is important.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sacrifice my sleep to stay up to make sure she's, you know, doing what she's supposed to do. And maybe then she'll see that and feel it, and then that'll be better than me just trying to force her, you know, tell her, you got to go to sleep. She's not going to listen to me. So if I go to sleep earlier and just, you know, let her stay up and take the consequences of that, then over time maybe she'll see it and realize that she needs to take care of herself too, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think that's a safe fail.
What grade is the daughter, Andrea?
She's 10th grade.
Yeah, well, same thing here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a safe failure, honestly. I think that that's you know, in terms of, that's an easy one for you to model too, you know, and on the days that you don't get enough sleep and be like, oh, I really needed to get a little bit more sleep. I'm dragging today, or I'm cranky, or I'm on edge today, you know, because I didn't get enough sleep. And then, yeah, you know, if she chooses up late and the next day she's struggling, and it seems like she's willing to have a conversation about what she could be different, you know, doing differently so she's not struggling, then
yeah,
maybe she'll make that connection herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the important thing is that we're taking care, I mean, at least for the topic today, that we're taking care of us, right? And aren't putting our own oxygen mask on first.
Yeah.
Whatever we need to do. Because we can't parent effectively if we don't have that part.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so we're out of time, and I don't want to go back around and make everybody check out. But does anyone have any questions or any burning topics that are still kind of hanging out there before we sign off?
Uh-oh.
My little guy got tubes put in his ears this morning, so he's here.
Oh.
And he just woke up.
Uh-oh. Oh.
It's okay. My husband's here.
Okay.
Sorry. Nothing? We're all good?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, I forgot to say, one of the things that I did is I took a bath for self-care.
Ah.
But then I also ended up giving the girls some very strong feedback of how the bath was gross and they need to take care of that. Because, anyway, I just thought it was neat because it was a consequence of that, a separation between what they need to do versus me taking care of me. And it was very genuine. And no, come now. This should have been done a while. I don't care when this is done. I want to take a bath. And I should be able to take a bath in our family bathroom.
Yeah.
And so it worked out really good. It was incredible. I want to try it again.
It's a team effort. Interesting.
Yeah,
I like
exactly.
It. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you for sharing, because it's important. Like you say, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So.
Yeah. And baths are really nice and relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
But
that sounds decadent.
But it has to be so fairly clean, you know. It doesn't have to be perfectly clean.
Well, it's true.
But there's like kind of a like.
Nasty tub is not decadent.
Exactly. So thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, you guys. Absolutely. All right. I'll talk to you in a couple weeks. I'm glad you guys are here today.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.